Evening, are we on? I don't hear me.
You can't press those buttons.
They did do that for the chair. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Okay, it is a pleasure to welcome all of you to our Planning Commission meeting on the 12th day of May, 2015. So I call this meeting to order. And we will start, of course, as always, with the minutes. So my question for you is, do I have anyone who wishes to move to approve them or anyone who feels the need to discuss them?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Motion?
Second.
Seconded. You got them both? Discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Wonderful.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
9. That's what I thought. 9 of us. Oh, you abstained. Got it. 801. All right. Are there committee reports? Have any of you been to anything? MPO or?
I can give a quick Horizon 2020.
That'd be great.
We're moving to the issue action report. Getting the format of that so it's ready for the public to see. Scott, did you decide on a final date when that's coming will be made public? Is that?
We plan on holding a public meeting in July sometime.
There's quite a number of issues. I encourage all commissioners to start taking a look at that site because I think that'll take us a lot of conversation.
Thank you. Very good. Good to know. Any other committee reports?
Tom, I have one.
There you are.
I'll report we had a oriented design subcommittee meeting scheduled for last week and it was canceled and I'm not sure if we have any date.
Okay. All right. Seeing no other committee reports. Communications. We have a couple in the packet, which will be relevant here in a moment after we get through these communications and any abstentions or ex parte communications when we get to that. I don't think that we have any even need to ask about staff, planning commission, or other commissioners because you keep us apprised. And, of course, there's nothing from city engineer, is that correct?
Correct.
That's what I thought. Ex parte, has anyone had the pleasure of talking to anyone in the public on matters relevant this evening? No. All right. And does anyone need to abstain for any reason? Very good. So the next thing you would see if you were looking at the short agenda on page one is that this is where the agenda items might be taken out of order at the commission's discretion. And I will take item two out of order. If you'll all please, up here with me, turn to page 48 of 61. 48 of 61 in your packet. We usually tell people who are unprepared for a meeting like this that they can't defer just because they're not ready. But unusual circumstances came up for Mr. Flory, and it only makes sense that we honor his request since he is the applicant. What I would need for that purpose, as you can see, we have that request. What I would need from you is a motion to defer and a second, and then if you want to discuss it, we sure can before we vote. So if somebody would, okay. Commissioner Van Aken and then Commissioner Graham seconds. Any discussion about deferring this item? And we don't have the Baldwin City Planning Commission here, so I didn't need to. Right, he's here, but that would be just discussion, when the time comes. So we don't need to convene them to defer. So any discussion? All in favor of approving this request for deferral? Unanimous, 9-0. Very good. So we are now finished with item number two. Item number one, Mary, we would love to hear from you. And we are not, let me just make sure, here we go. Yeah, we purposely are not recessing and convening because we're going to hear from Matt separately representing Baldwin City. So that's why we haven't. For those who are curious, we haven't recessed.
Good evening. I'm Mary Miller, planning staff, and this is a conditional use permit for the Maple Leaf Orchards Micro Distillery. This is a value-added agricultural business. This CUP was submitted a little earlier, but it had to wait until the text amendment for the value-added agricultural business was finalized, and that was finalized a few weeks ago. And I'll just take a moment to give you a report on how that went. They did accept the changes that you recommended. They removed the minimum area requirement. They added odor to the list of attributes that could not be perceptible at the property line. They added water quality to the EPA standards that had to be met. And they, on the access management standards, they accepted your recommendation, but the county engineer recommended that it be phrased a little differently to be simpler. So basically, he just said that the access management standards would apply to other uses the same as they apply to residential, which means if you were divided prior to 2007, that you did not have to have that required frontage. The subject property is located right on the southeastern property or city limits of Baldwin City. It's shown here in the hatched marks. It's about 20 acres. It's two parcels. And this is a aerial showing the buildings on the site. The small parcel had a residence, but it's destroyed. They just have some outbuildings. Then there is a residence on the larger parcel and the outbuilding, which is where the micro distillery would be located. The applicant noted that they intend to distill about 1,000 gallons of brandy a year, and Kansas statute would allow up to 10,000 gallons for a micro distillery, so they're going to be pretty small scale. They intend to branch out later and create other brandies, other fruit brandies in the future. And I'll just briefly go over the process as I understand it, but the applicant is here if you have more questions when I'm finished. But the apples will be pressed in the micro distillery building. They will be pressed into cider, and that is where the one byproduct will be created. That's apple pulp. And that can either be used for composting or for livestock feed. And then the cider is put into a copper still where it's distilled into brandy. And then the last step is the brandy is put into wooden barrels, and that's stored while it ages. So that's kind of the simplified version of how that all works. The applicants both work part-time, and they have one full-time employee, so they need one parking space. And due to the small scale, it'll just be that employee will park in the driveway for the residents. If they had more employees in the future and needed more parking, they would need to revise the CUP plan to show the new parking, but that would not require a public hearing before the commission. It would just be a revision to the plan. This use could be considered a home occupation if they lived on the property. However, they live here only part-time. They have a home in Overland Park. But in addition, they wanted a longer-term approval period. Home occupation permits have to be renewed annually, and when you take into account the cost of the trees and the equipment, as well as the time it takes the trees to mature so they'll be producing, they wanted a much longer time frame approval. This use is very similar to a winery use, but Kansas statute declares wineries as agricultural uses, so they're exempt from the zoning regulations, but micro distilleries are not, and that's why they need to get some sort of approval. And it does meet the definition of a value-added agricultural business use in that it does add value to an agricultural product by a change in state, and it uses commodities that are not raised on site. Eventually, they hope to have all their apples and all their fruit grown on site, but when they're starting up, they'll have to bring in some apples from other locations. And in addition, it could be bad harvest, there could be some bad climate, and then they would need to bring in apples at other times. So they want to be able to do that throughout their lifetime of their business. This shows the zoning and land uses in the area. The property that's shaded is property in the unincorporated areas of Douglas County. The blue is agriculture. The green is county suburban residential. There is a home on that parcel up to the north, and in the agriculturally zoned areas, it's mostly rural residents, agriculture, and woodlands. The unshaded portions are within the city of Baldwin city limits, and the planning and zoning administrator indicated that this area to the north is zoned RDL, or low density residential, and it does have a residence on a large parcel, and then this is cemetery property over in this area. And I had a slide, I must have lost it, but it was a slide showing the future land use plans for Baldwin City. They have a long-range plan for their urban growth area, and they show this area with the subject property for low-density residential. And so that was one of the principal factors in considering if we needed expiration date on this conditional use permit, was whether or not they felt that it would be compatible in the long range with the development as that area, as it urbanizes. And the Planning Commission expressed enthusiasm for this CUP. They indicated it would be compatible and also an amenity to the area. And you'll see the letter from the Planning Commission today. They stated their support, and therefore staff is not recommending any expiration date. We do recommend the 5-year administrative review, similar to other CUPs, but not an expiration date. The applicants hope to make this an area to visit again. They indicated it used to be a very active area. The apple orchard had, you pick them, you could go in and pick your own apples, and they had many festivals and events here. And they hope to have those kind of activities in the future. And when they grow to that stage, they could either register those as agritourism uses, or they could revise their CUP. Or if they're just occasional festivals, they could go through a special event permit, but there'd be a way for them to do all of those activities in the future. The micro distillery would not be considered agritourism because it is a producing light industrial business. It's not actually nothing to do with tourism. It's when you bring people to tour it, or to tour the orchard, or to do other activities on the site, that would be the agritourism activities. They plan very little physical changes except for their planting a lot of apple trees, and they'll be doing a lot of fruit plantings and other site improvements. There won't be much physical changes to the structures. The health department indicated that given the small scale of their business and their low water usage, that they could either install their own septic system or they could tie into the septic system for the residents. And so that is one of the conditions of approval. And then the conditions that are set for the value-added ag business, those are listed on the CUP plan. The limit on employees, the structures can be no larger than 10,000 square foot. They're well below that, but that would give them room to grow if they wanted. The limit on commercial vehicle deliveries, they expect very few deliveries just in harvest time. They'll be having the apples delivered. They do their own deliveries when they deliver the brandy and things. They'll do that with a pickup truck. And so you'll see the other standards. And so staff recommends approval of this and forwarding it to the County Commission with a recommendation for approval with those two conditions, one being the 5-year administrative review and the other being the note regarding the septic system connection.
Thank you. We would be delighted to hear from the applicant. The applicant first, and then we'll have you. No, you're not. You're the applicant.
No, you're
Baldwin.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you right.
Yeah, the applicant.
I didn't hear you right.
No problem. We'd love to have you come up next.
Hello, I'm Rory Murphy, and I might say William Rory Murphy on my.
If you could speak up.
William Rory Murphy probably says on official documents. So essentially what we're doing now at Maple Leaf Orchards is, well, rehabilitating it to begin with, and I think we have about 80 of the original 160 or 180 trees that survived the decade or so of neglect, and they are producing fruit this year, I'm happy to say, it looks like, and they are not the best varieties for producing cider, however, and but currently we are doing that, and we've been on a small scale making cider for several years now, and also fermenting some of that into hard apple cider for personal use, and trying to find a recipe that makes good hard apple cider. It's our hope to continue to refine that, and with that, we in the last 2 weeks planted 424 new apple trees. and of types that people may or may not be familiar with. For example, Newtown Pippin, we don't see in the grocery store too often. It's interesting to know that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington used to grow this apple in their yards and drink hard apple cider made from it. Jefferson shipped barrels of Newtown Pippin to England, to Queen Elizabeth, I believe it was, who liked the apple so much that she removed the import tax on apples, which led to a huge boom in apple exportation from the East Coast to England all the way up until World War I. So that, along with others like Dabinet, Ashmead's Kernel, Wixen, Michelin, Medaille d'Or, some of the traditional cider apples that are grown in Normandy, where it's made into Calvados, or what we call apple brandy, and which are not really available in supermarkets or much at all. So we have to grow those, and they'll take 3 to 5 years to mature now. And with luck, we'll have good harvests of those. But we did want to have a backup plan in case we have late frost, as we've had 2 out of the last 6 years lost our crop entirely to late frosts. And this conditional use permit would allow us to do that, bring in fruit if we need to. I regret that I wasn't able to get in touch with the health department and discuss further the question of the septic tank. And I found that planting 424 trees took longer than anticipated. The question is, really what we'll be putting through that septic tank, because currently we just have hoses running down there, and even if we do run water down there, which I think we will want to do, we have a bathroom just in the residence in the basement of that, which is accessible by a storm door, and we want that to be available as a storm shelter for employees anyways. So we do not intend to put a toilet there. And the runoff from this is really no more than what is currently with the manufacturer of apple cider. So it's a little hard to understand, and we certainly do want to comply with whatever the health department thinks is best, but at the same time, it is somewhat costly, and I'd like to put in about 500 more trees in the fall. So with that, we hope you'll approve this project.
Thank you very much, Dr. Murphy. Appreciate that. Can I see a show of hands of how many here are for the public hearing? Okay, I am opening and closing the public hearing and inviting you now to come on up representing Baldwin City, and you can take all the time you want.
My name is Matt Kirby. I reside in Baldwin City. I'm a member of the Baldwin City Planning Commission, and you'll see the letter of our unanimous support for this, for the CUP. There's a lot of enthusiasm on the Planning Commission for this. We believe it will be not only a very interesting business, but one with a lot of interesting cultural prestige and a kind of a connection to artisanry. The values of good craft, and we feel on the Planning Commission that this has the likelihood of being a business with a sense of connection to other very interesting kinds of food-related businesses. There was some discussion last Tuesday night about this, and after which we all signed the letter in support of the distillery project. I want to thank the Planning Commission here for working with Mr. Murphy with regard to the expiration date. We feel that this is a kind of an investment on the part of the Douglas County planning process, and we feel that in the long run it will indeed fulfill itself as a kind of cultural asset. Many thanks. Do you need me to comment on the Flory request?
What we would ask is it'll be next month probably that we hear it, and we would love you to come back.
Because we actually all, we unanimously signed that letter too.
That's excellent.
Yeah,
for us to know that, if you didn't want to come, that'd be okay also. But if there's any reason to be concerned about the Baldwin community opposing it, I'd recommend you make it. If you believe that they're in favor of it, then
I do.
Great.
I haven't heard any opposition. Also, there was some discussion that I had with Ms. Miller in the planning department as to the long-term character of the distillery in relation to its neighbors, and the way we spoke of it was that it has a kind that it's the type of business that has a kind of pastoral, bucolic character, a sense of old world, agrarian aesthetic about it that would be kind of like living near a golf course. Mm-hmm. That there would be a sense of beauty just about the look of an orchard, and that really it would be a very good neighbor.
Wonderful.
So, in the long run. So.
We are very glad you're here. We welcome you.
Thank you.
All. Anyone from the commission?
Anytime. You. It's nice to see you have such nice chairs.
Oh, thank you. You mean me? It didn't mean me.
Anyway, thank you very much.
And we do have a nice chair. Sometimes. All right. So with all of that said, discussion comes up here. Questions, if there are any, and certainly a motion to approve, if that's... your will. Commissioner Josserand.
I just tickled pink that this proposal, we have individuals interested in doing this. I think it's a great idea, and wish you the best of luck. But I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
What would you say the typical of an apple tree is in this kind of an environment?
It's up to the apple borers, mainly. We're intending to do this organically, so that puts us at a disadvantage in that battle. But anywhere from 20 years, you know the apple tree that supposedly the apple fell off and hit Isaac Newton on the head and made him think about gravity? That tree died only a couple years ago, so it lived for several hundred years, and there are now progeny of it available in nurseries around our country.
Other questions? Commissioner Von Aachen.
Mary, I know we've been through this again, but can you explain if they were getting all of their apples on their property, how this process would differ?
Well, if they raised all the apples, then more than likely it would be considered an agricultural use and it would not come before you, but that would be something zoning and codes would look at. What I know is if you don't use all your apples, I know a CUP is required. So there might be some cases where they do raise all the apples and they may decide it still needs a CUP for some reason. Hmm. But the distinction is if you don't raise them all, you definitely do need a CUP.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for your question. This is probably a really dumb question. I may have really missed something, but Dr. Murphy, and I assume Mrs. Murphy? Somebody? Friends of the Murphys? Mrs. Murphy? Okay, that'll do. The Starlight Distillery press release, is that related?
Oh, I shared that with Mary when I came across it on the internet one day. I thought it might be of interest to the commission to know how other communities had received such a thing. Their operation, if you look at it on the internet, you'll see has been in existence for quite some time, run by the family, and is a much larger scale operation than what we have in mind. But I think it's interesting that they were so warmly received, and even that laws were passed there in the legislature to make it possible for them. That some states are really trying to encourage the growth of micro distilleries, and it's a sort of a growing, very popular endeavor these days.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know. If there aren't any other questions, can we please have a motion? Commissioner Von Aachen.
I move that we recommend approval of the conditional use permit for a micro distillery, a value-added agricultural business use, subject to the listed conditions.
Thank you.
Second.
Seconded over here to my left, Commissioner Denny. Further discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Motion carries unanimously, 9-0. Thank you. We wish you the best. And again, thanks to Baldwin for visiting and complimenting us.
Only one of
them. Oh. He said, "Yeah, but now we have nice chairs."
We did.
That's
That is correct.
I'm Catherine Simmons. Good evening, commissioners. I'm with the planning department. I'm here to present the preliminary plat for the reserve at Albemarle number 4. It's located at 1733 Bob White Drive. The current zoning surrounding this particular piece of property, the current zone that it's in is an RS-10. It is actually surrounded by other residential single-family dwelling residential zones, RS-20. And on the west and north side, it's surrounded by the unincorporated portion of Douglas County, which is County A, which is also some open ground agricultural and residential single-family dwelling. This land division is coming before you today because it needs to be processed as a major subdivision because the criteria for a minor subdivision is not met. This is to replat tract A into a new lot and a tract. And there is a variance that would be associated with this, a variance requested from one of the utility code sections 19214, which states that a private sanitary sewer service line shall not cross any public right-of-way or drainage easement, and the applicant is going to provide that variance request at the time to the utility department at the time of final plat. This is a copy of the plat. I believe you'll have that. You may not be able to see it on this slide. There are some easements associated with this preliminary plat. The utility easement along the north and west boundary of the property, as well as the utility easement along the street frontage of Lot 1 and Tract AR to remain. There were some drainage channels that resulted from the drainage study that was provided that they will be putting in the east portion of Lot 1 and the east portion of Tract A, and they would be located in the designated drainage easement. There will be a drainage easement vacated and realigned to 10 feet on the eastern portion of the property. This easement will be vacated with the final plat. And there will also be an existing 50-foot drainage easement that will remain within the tract A. There are a couple conditions that we are recommending for the approval as the preliminary plat. The approval of the downstream sanitary sewer analysis by the utilities department, which I believe they have already approved. Provision of a note on the preliminary plat. Variance has been requested with that particular utility section of the city code related to the location of the sanitary sewer service line across that public right-of-way or drainage easement. In this case, it's an easement. Relocation of the proposed sanitary sewer service line to the east, just outside of the regulatory floodplain, which you can see in the image. It may need to shift just a little. Sanitary or the stormwater engineer can address that a little more. Required actions upon approval of the preliminary plat would be submittal and administrative approval of the final plat, city commission vacation of and acceptance of the dedication of easements shown on the final plat, approval of the public improvement plans, recording of the final plat with the Douglas County Register of Deeds, and application and release of building permits prior to development. this preliminary plat will divide and reconfigure an existing tract into one lot and one tract to allow for the development of a new detached dwelling. With the noted conditions, the preliminary plat is in conformance with the standards and requirements of the subdivision regulations and the development code. Staff is recommending approval of the preliminary plat of the reserve at Albemarle number 4, subject to the above conditions.
Thank you. The applicant, we would like to hear from you. While you're getting organized, is anyone here for this, even though it's a non-public hearing item? Okay, so there won't be a public hearing, since there's nobody here for that purpose.
Good evening, my name is Chris Storm. I am the property owner of record. Staff report was very complete. I have nothing to add to that, and I have no issues with the conditions that were included with that. Mm-hmm. However, I'd like to answer any questions that Planning Commission may have regarding the application.
Thank you. Given that, we will ask you to get comfortable again, and we will bring it back up here, and we will absolutely ask. So we appreciate that offer. Since this is not a public hearing item and nobody here wishes to speak about it, it's back up here where we might have questions for you. And certainly we will want a motion at any time. Commissioners, anything? Motion? Commissioner Von Ocken?
I have a question about dividing the tract. I don't think anything like this has come up here since I've been on the commission, and I'm just curious why they're segregating the tract away from the lot. I read the sentence that says the intent is to create a buildable lot for a single dwelling structure and create a tract that will accommodate the floodplain and the easement. But how is that beneficial? Isn't it normally beneficial to have the properties platted?
Typically, it probably is beneficial. However, with the regulatory floodplain, it has insurance impacts on your primary residence. For instance, if the regulatory floodplain is encroaching on your platted lot or where your primary structure is, it can influence your insurance rates. I believe this was done, and Chris might answer this more completely, but this was already a tract, and separating off the tract to incorporate that regulatory floodplain area separates that portion out from the buildable lot, which would not have an insurance impact on their property.
So when this is sold, they'll just sell the lot?
Chris would have to answer that about when it was sold, but because he still owns both the tract and the lot. So
you'll be selling the lot and keeping the tract?
I mean, at this time, my wife and I are trying to decide if we want to actually build on it. I mean, if that's the case, then obviously we still own both. If we would sell it, our intent would not to be not to retain ownership of the tract, but to sell it contingent on owning both the tract and the lot. So it'd be one piece, sold-wise. I'm not going to maintain. If I wouldn't live at that property, I wouldn't want to own the tract, is what I'm saying. They would be sold. I would sell them together under one ownership. The other reason, in addition to the issue with the tract and the segregating the floodplain from the lot for insurance purposes, it also gives the city stormwater engineer greater ability to go through there and maintain that channel. And if there's something that needs to be cleared or anything like that, that's also the purpose of the tract, instead of just wiping out the tract and making it a lot with a drainage easement on top of it.
It seems like that this would be a very unattractive piece of property if they're not sold together.
So, yeah, I mean, I see it as one piece. It's just the tract is more of a function of, let's call it, the insurance associated with the floodplain. It's more of a floodplain management issue.
Okay, thank you.
Other commissioners, All right, can we get a motion, please? Yes, Commissioner Britton.
I move we recommend approval of the preliminary plat of the reserve at Albemarle Number 4, subject to the three conditions listed in the staff report.
Thank you. Seconded by Commissioner Culver. Any further discussion? Yes.
Just one point of clarification. You're not recommending approval. You are the authority on the preliminary plat, so you're actually approving it with this vote.
Ah, of course. Can I amend my motion then?
Please do.
That we actually approve. Maybe I want to move that we recommend to ourselves that we approve it by separate motion.
Don't forget to forward it to nobody.
Yeah.
All right. Do we get that out of the way?
Yes.
Thanks, Dad. Further discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. All right. Motion carries unanimously 9-0. Thank you, sir, for visiting us. And thank you, Catherine, for work well done. Let's do the variance next for Bella Serra. Is there anyone here for that? Terrific. Is this something that's a public hearing? I'm just curious.
It's on a variance. We do take public comment.
Very good.
It's not a hearing item.
Now, are you here to represent?
Applicant.
Yes, that's what I thought, rather than public.
The applicant submitted a minor subdivision to the planning office for review, and what the intent of that minor subdivision is, this is actually one platted lot today, even though there is an ownership parcel that shows essentially the west half and the east half. Staff has gone through that review with the applicant for the minor subdivision, and at the conclusion of that, we identified the fact that Bob Billings Parkway is a major arterial or principal arterial street, and the subdivision regulations as of today require a total of 150 feet of right-of-way. Bob Billings Parkway in this segment does not meet that design standard, and so there is a requirement for the applicant to seek a variance from that design standard from this board. So your action tonight is to consider the variance request to allow for the reduced right-of-way from 150 feet that is required in the subdivision regulations to allow the 100 feet that is there today to stand. Be happy to answer any other questions you might have.
Thank you. That makes good sense. Why don't we hear from the applicant's representative and or the applicant? Bless you, Sheila.
David Hamby with BG Consultants, representing the applicant. I don't have anything to add, but I will offer to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. We may call on you.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Given that there's no one from the public here to comment, let's discuss this and then vote on it. Any discussion? Any motion?
So I just have a quick question.
Questions?
So I see that we've allowed this variance four times in the last 2 years. Is that correct? Did I understand that correctly? Is there any idea that maybe we should change it? I mean, if we keep changing it, if we keep allowing variances, aren't we just changing the rule all the time?
That's true. We think that the design standard addresses more a street profile that would be applicable in new greenfield development rather than being responsive to those existing conditions in arterial street profiles today. The regulation doesn't separate that out, which would be ideal and allow the applicants to not have to move through this particular process, but that would require an amendment to the subdivision regulations.
Good question and good answer. Did somebody want to make a motion?
There you go.
Commissioner Britton.
I move that we not recommend but actually approve variance requested for a minor subdivision, MS-15-00096, to reduce the right-of-way from section 20-810A5 for a principal arterial street from 150 feet to 100 feet. per the section of the code listed for property located at 4500 Bob Billings Parkway.
Nicely done. Second. Commissioner Culver had his hand up first. Sorry. Discussion. All in favor, please raise your hand. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Probably much to everyone's delight, I'm starting to lose my voice. Certainly my wife's delight. I'm going to put water in this cup if anybody wants to stretch their legs or do anything else. We are now to the point where we're just doing our own housekeeping stuff. So I'm going to put some water in this cup, come back momentarily. If anybody wants to shake your legs out or something.
This is an informal break. Not a formal break, but an informal break.
Bruce's chance to drink water.
So what have you been doing this week, work-wise? I mean, if you're not down there,
the distillery guy talked about Thomas Jefferson.
My husband's on that for years.
But it wasn't even that, because she didn't ascend to the throne at least until 1837.
Oh, really?
And he died in 1826. Yeah.
So which queen did he give them to?
Well, it could have been King George the Fourth, yeah. Or King George the Third, which I find hard to believe.
A guy named Bobby Lee.
George the Third died
started
in 1820.
It. And I think this is right. Kurt was on that first.
Yep. And then it was William the Fourth, from 1830 to 1837.
Down the turn one different.
Could have been it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could have been it.
House,
maybe
different headquarters.
That's right. That's when you send
shifted.
That's when you send
certain quantity.
He was thinking
that's right. Queen Victoria, start fermenting these apples now. And when you have to put the rightful drinking age, yeah. Before you get all tightened up like a Victorian shoe. There's the key.
We do
some of this hard apple cider.
He was trying to buy favor, great favor. Whoever the king,
whoever it was. So he was trying to get out of massive debt.
Yeah. So created he played on his child.
Now, let me just ask. Sheila, is it my understanding that we are doing miscellaneous item three after? What did we decide on that? We're doing that after we're done? Casually? Or? So B is at the afterwards. Why don't you do this first, because it's more of a presentation, and then we can. No, I figured since that's just the vote and it's more housekeeping stuff, what you're doing is substantial. What we're doing is more playtime. Irritating.
At the end of the mid-month meeting, we had a discussion, Scott and I, and thought maybe we should explore a little bit more the discussion we started to have about single axle, dual axle, in terms of that perhaps we could just, which Bruce brought
Jocer
to the meeting and then left after he introduced the item.
Get that on tape? Good. Once more? Okay.
And so we thought we would just spend a little time just, talking about what those images look like and ask you all to go back out into the community and look with your eyes at, oh, yes, that is a dual axle right there in the front yard or whatever. Thinking that this may be an easier way to think about what we have been trying to think about in terms of locations and then we can talk about whether that's the direction you want to go the next time we get together to talk about this topic. It also could be a great way for enforcement to easily be able to determine if, you know, something is single axle, and we've said single axle is okay in the front yard, driveway, you know, nothing else is. So I just have some links to look at to give us some things if they come up. Yay.
Do you want commissioners to be able to find those links?
Or yes. Yeah, I could, except I'm not on my own email here. I will email them to you. How's that?
That's what I was asking. Good deal.
Is that your trailer up there on the bottom left?
No, mine is a dually.
Okay, so.
Much nicer.
And in looking at the links, you know, you still have quite a bit of variety, but, you know, like you can have a boat trailer or a utility trailer.
Wait, you called that a boat trailer?
Isn't that a boat trailer?
ATV trailer.
ATV.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah,
pardon
definitely,
me.
Definitely. Definitely.
Come on, Sheila. You never let us down.
But it's empty. That's the important thing.
Yes. All of these seem to be empty, but then here we have a single axle, rather large thing. Is this a boat trailer?
That's a personal watercraft trailer.
It can be a very small boat.
Here is a rather large, bulky.
It looks more like a personal water discharge trailer.
So.
Get that in a minute.
And they can be long. So it may work, it may not work.
Sheila, can you scroll up just a little bit? I want to point out that one to the left right there. Yes.
Yeah.
That is a long one.
The HP trailer.
What?
Yes, that is large. So it may work, it may not work. I have more to show you. Oops. Let's see what the boats look like.
Yeah, boats.
Does that look like what I just said was a boat trailer? These look interesting. For sale cheap. .net.
We sell those. Those are aluminum trailers.
What's that thing?
Jack.
That, yes.
This.
Which way?
To jack up your axle, on a trailer, change a tire. Roll.
So we have to essentially decide.
We have
decide.
A problem.
That's not a good.
Wait
point.
A second.
All right, we're done with those.
that's more of a double axle.
So our job is to decide if, well. She wants to know if we think size matters. It's true, or if it's. Why are you laughing?
Okay.
Well, I guess these things aren't for habitation.
So, and these are, you know, obviously they come in all sizes. They could be little bitty, they could be big. So, whoops, we have a problem.
Oh, dear.
A little heavier than they thought it was.
Somebody stand.
More weight distribution. Larger surface area.
I'm going to be careful how far I scroll down this time.
Ow! Excuse me.
Ow!
I'm sorry.
So Bruce's suggestion before he absconded was to allow single.
To pay attention to number of axles, because it does make a difference as to how much weight they can bear. And
as opposed to
So were you saying specifically that we. What we could do a single axle?
I think what we should think about is excluding double axles from, we should think about double axle trailers as commercial trailers.
The bad ones.
Yeah, I mean commercial, probably belong in front of businesses rather than in front of somebody's house.
So on any side of the house?
I don't know about that. I'd love to hear everyone's discussion about that.
Like this one. many axles.
But it doesn't seem to me that double axle versus single axle has any impact on size.
It's weight.
It's all weight, right?
Yeah, and but also
there's an overlap.
Yeah, there's overlap. Thank you. Because you can have a 4,000-pound boat on a single axle trailer. 4,000 pounds is a lot of weight.
Okay. The same ones.
We knew this was a light agenda, and so we just wanted to explore this a little bit more.
I would recommend, as Sheila suggested, that you keep your eyes wide open for double axle trailers and see if you see any double axle trailers that you think belong in front of someone's or next to someone's.
I've got a regular route. I'll retrace it.
Yeah. Yeah. That. I mean.
So again, just trying to heighten your awareness so that when you see them, think about where they're at. Do they look appropriate? Do they not look appropriate? Should they be in a residential area at all? And then when we finish the rest of the miscellaneous agenda, I have an exercise for you to do to again help you think about where things are located on lots.
Questions for Sheila? I said questions for Sheila. Compliments?
Thank you.
Good job.
Good job.
More compliments?
Great job.
Thank you.
Very great job.
Final compliments.
I'm so good at Googling.
Careful.
So the next item pertains to training.
He's pulling up the doodle.
Pertains to, come on. Ah, I didn't want that. Come on, wake up. Oh, I know what I want. Okay, the next item pertains to what Brian, Eric, Patrick, and John did. They went to their doodle poll, and so far it's unanimous that July 24th and August 28th work. Other dates are missing at least one person each. So July 17th is missed, one person can't make it. August 14th, a person can't make it. August 21st, a person can't make it. So if you think you can do it conveniently now, and it's in your email, and you want to jump to it, that's great. If you did, if you don't, that's okay too.
Can we just tell you?
Only if you don't. Only if when I go back to this poll, you don't mind if I forget that you told me. Okay. If you wished I had remembered, you probably should do it here.
All right.
What?
Oh, I checked it this afternoon. Yeah.
Does everybody know what you're?
Yeah. Maybe some introductory.
I have no idea
comments.
What we're talking about. But okay.
Some people.
Oh, if nobody. Oh. Annually, we have two people who are up.
Poll.
Yeah.
Poll.
Just about the
poll. Where did the poll come
tell
from?
Tell them what this is, because they
Poland.
Haven't checked their email.
Poland. Where does the poll come? Oh, that poll. Oh, I thought you were talking about something else. I made you laugh.
You just
instead of making you cry. It made Patrick rub his forehead like he does every time I open my mouth. Okay.
So how do we access this poll? Okay, to be more precise, how do we access this poll? Because I've never
open
heard of
your email. Do you have email on your phone?
My battery went dead out here a minute ago, so
okay.
Otherwise I would. Yeah.
You will see an email from me. You get to click on the link.
Okay.
And it pops. Does this one have everyone listed? Do you guys see everyone else's vote?
I did not. People that had responded.
I did see the people that responded.
Okay, you did, because you can hide that, and I chose not to. Okay, so you will click on a link, and that will determine, that will enable you to say what day you may be available for orientation.
I can get it from there. I just had never heard of the poll before. So.
Sadly, two of our members don't yet know if they will be on Planning Commission, Commissioner Culver and Commissioner Josran. We hope that you are, because we love you guys. You know what? I think the rule is if you respond to the party before the mayor makes his decision, he's SOL. So, When you have a moment, please respond to this.
Are we clicking the ones we can go to or cannot?
Can.
All right.
Put a check mark. So I'll refresh this, and we will see Commissioner Von Ocken's dates. Say the word.
No.
If any of you have access to yours?
No.
You did yours? You guys are good.
I have to have a scheduling conference with...
Can you help Commissioner Von Ocken? She's...
She's got it.
I don't need help.
She's got it.
You're lucky she's not sitting close.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
She puts in a special request of each
sitting
time.
Far away from
yes.
But Amalia beat me at this tonight.
Yeah, she got further away. Lucky her. Hey, we have all night. Harder. Drum roll. And the survey says, yes.
July 24th.
Or the 28th.
Still looking good.
Yeah, those dates are looking good for us. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, probably.
And I don't care.
You're good?
Good for India.
If you'll jump in there and just click them all, yes.
I'll try
and,
to. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So in order to quit being silly, that's it. Do we want to look at the mid-month at all, or we
just want to update you on what we're planning for the next several months of mid-month. June, you actually have that already planned with the health department's half of the hour and a half, and with a presentation from planning staff on the commercial nodes in the community, specifically the what was the South Point application node at Iowa and K-10 area. Not talking about South Point specifically, although we do anticipate an application coming. This was an outcome of what the Planning Commission wanted to see after we understood that that was being withdrawn. We wanted to look at, kind of have just a general discussion about commercial nodes in that area. And then part of why we're trying to get orientation scheduled, because that drives a little bit of the mid-month scheduling. We don't do mid-month meeting in the month of the orientation and social hour. So we'll schedule the rest of these back on after we find out that month. And so you can see who we plan on having at these next four topics.
Terrific. Any questions? Yes, sir.
You mentioned South Point.
Trying to think what they were asking for: annexation, comp plan change, and rezoning. I'm not. Yeah. I believe it was. It should have, because Louisiana is one of the streets we aligned. Louisiana hits that property.
That's right.
So it's gonna.
Those were some changes. Get a concerned about. signalization on the highway.
Yes.
Those kind of issues, I think we have.
Thank you very much. At this point in time, I have the sad pleasure of opening up elections of officers for 2015-2016. And it's sad, but bittersweet. I don't know that there's any protocol that says I can't nominate my vice chair, is there? It's with great pleasure. What? Well, I don't know if the chair can do nominate. Sure. I would love to nominate my vice chair for the position of chair of the 2015-16 Lawrence Douglas County Planning Commission.
You don't give up your right to nominate anybody by just being the chair.
I love that.
So, but in your since you don't want to do it, let me nominate the vice chairs next year's chair.
And I'll continue second.
If that's what you're intending to want or do.
We just have one thing on the. We have one thing. We just do it. We do the chair first.
Yeah, John, I think you did make that motion. He's looking for a second.
Yeah. Did you want to second that?
Yeah.
Great. So, nomination for potential next commissioner seconded. We can discuss that.
Take any other nominations?
Oh, I thought what we'd do is if it's not voted for, then we take, but.
Run it against take all nominations.
Okay, other nominations.
For
the chair of the Lawrence Douglas County Planning Commission for the years 2015 through 2016. Did I need to repeat that once more?
No. Only to stretch out your own chairmanship.
Hey, my wife does it.
Okay.
Seeing no other nominations. All in favor, please raise your hand. Woo-hoo. Are you voting at the end? Okay, good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure. Nominations for vice chair. Commissioner Culver, you had your hand.
Nominate Commissioner Kelly.
Oh.
It's fine.
Sorry.
I'm sure he didn't mind.
I don't know. Yeah. Can I delegate it back to him just for the. Yeah. I think Brian is the best.
He nominated Patrick Kelly. Second. Seconded by everybody. Seconded by Commissioner Gray. Any other nominations? We've never had one. It'd be really scary and sad. All in favor, raise your hand. May I be the first to shake your hand?
The guy who
makes you go like this all the time. She's yours.
All right, then I have one piece of business to take care of. I think Commissioner Culver is probably the only person up here who can remember a time when Bruce was neither chair nor vice chair. And even that, you probably can hardly remember. So we've had 4 good years of Bruce in either this chair or that chair. And now, Bruce, you have to go out and sit among the regular people.
It'll be a pleasure.
Yeah. But we appreciate everything that you have done the last 4 years and, of course, the last 5 years that you've been here. And the staff has put together this beautiful
train.
Look at that. That is
fanfare.
Pretty classy.
Yeah, you see that?
Isn't how do
that?
I get it off there to bang on stuff?
Well, I think you just use the whole thing. But there you go, Bruce. It's congratulations.
Beautiful. It really is beautiful. Thank you. Thank
you
all. I know it sounds corny, but I love you guys. It's a joy to come here on these nights and trying to make everyone smile. Trying to make Culver blush between Kelly's this and Brian going. Okay, I'm done.
Hey, photograph you?
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Hold up your back.
Hanging over the
all right.
Stand up, Bruce.
Oh, we're standing? Where's this going?
It's going to you. You're taking it.
It's going to trash this Facebook thing.
You'll find it when you Google search double axle.
Two,
put that up next year.
Chair?
All right. Just moving furniture.
Oh, yeah, we got an activity.
This is beautiful. Thank you all. This is beautiful.
Yeah, I think we're going to adjourn the meeting and then hopefully stick around to do our exercise with scale models and other things.
There's models.
Models, absolutely.
That's what that thing on the Google search was all about.
So if there's nothing else for the good of the commission, then we'll be adjourned.
Wait, does Sheila, do you just want to explain what we're doing here?
Yeah. No. We're technically adjourned, and Sheila can now.
What I have here are three big maps. I need another table.
That is so cool.
That has lots of different corner lots because the exterior side and the fronts seem to be.
Can we come help you? We're all coming that way.
Problem.
Let's. If you want to shut your computers down.
So.
Tracks always have two of these.
Yep.
Can you?
Sorry. but anyway, just thinking about where they are and what you have, remember, is the lot is the bold line. So the driveway, typically the front setback is 25 feet, so you're going to have about 25 feet here. But then that's where, you know, we were saying that you could be 18 feet from the curb.
Is the bold line representing 18 feet?
No, that is your lot line. The 18 feet is not on there specifically. And I did bring my other scale.
But it's not like it's some places.
But if your traffic's going,
yeah.
Not a state sound.
I think it's
what do the different colors mean?
There are sizes on them. 20-foot.
So these are all.
Yeah, the greens are all 30.
To scale.
Although I, yeah, except that I forgot I was, had already done oranges and I.
That's my confusion.
No, I mean, it's obviously gonna be, yeah, easy in its best.
Right. That's a house. Oh, that's just, it just cut off.
So is what I've seen.
That's the backyard.
See here, this is just a normal length of that one.
This one is.
Unless you park a big one.
There you go, then you can see one. Now you're checking my measurements.
No, I was just trying to make sure.
So they're allowed to go over this lot line?
Well, technically, there is a section of the code that the police officers can ticket if there's a sidewalk here. You can't overhang the sidewalk.
So the sidewalk would be out here.
Yes, but often you will find that people are parking here.
How is there a regulated distance between the lot line and the sidewalk?
No, it depends on where they were built. Usually the sidewalk is 6 feet back from here, so it really just kind of depends.
How wide is this? Oh, wait, I guess I'm five. What's the score?
It's 1 to 10.
No, I was just visualizing.
So, that's 16 feet.
Hey, have you guys ever been in Lecompton?
Hey, what are you doing?
This is what it's like in Lecompton. You got any more?
Is that your house?
I've got a neighbor like that in 20th and Parker.
Are those all sailboats?
No, that's kind of.
Side yard on a corner lot off Love and Storm there. Yeah, if it's screened the property, it goes down.
Yep.
It'll, we can't look at everything, in my opinion, as if it were 28th Street.
Yeah.
There's an issue there.
Mm-hmm.
But my caution is, let's not kill a fly with a sledgehammer. I mean, it's not making everybody, even those who can do it without any penalties, the neighbors or passersby, not able to do it or turn it into lawbreakers. I'm not sure how we do that.
Sheila,
I think this is a good start.
Can you talk about this one here on Crestline and 30th that
has
two driveways?
I think it's a duplex, because right next duplex, and but that could very well be in another location that might have been a single family house where maybe there was a topo change, because you know there are people that sometimes have a second driveway and or a second garage, or you know this house is just inviting. It's got probably enough frontage to have a second driveway, and you know that would be, if I owned that big lot, part of the attraction could be, wow, I've got enough frontage where I could pull something in and easily get it in and out.
This makes me think that, and I think we came to this conclusion a little bit, but the interior side yard, there's not a lot of space. Even if you could.
What was the term you used? Self-limiting?
Mm-hmm.
I like rules that are self-limiting, and that's a good one right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some of them, but this is a little big, wide, but there are places where people will have, actually my house, we have more side yard here. And so we have what would be the third car of the garage, just the pavement, for a driveway right there. And did that specifically. So at the time we had, three teenage boys and five vehicles, you could park something up there and not have them all.
In an enclosed structure.
No, it was just the driveway. It was just, you know, you had